You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Today's podcast is a bit different than the other podcasts. A lot of the other podcasts, I've been giving you direct information about how to save your marriage. And today, this is kind of directed towards your spouse. And while your spouse may not listen to this, I really did need to say some things, and it may help you understand also where I'm coming from. The reason I am even doing this is because I've received a couple of responses in the past few weeks that have let me think that there's something floating around there that seems to be in the air right now. I got an email just a couple of days ago. I was actually on the road taking my daughter to North Carolina. The nice thing was she was practicing her driving so that she, when she returns to college next year, she'll feel good about the highway driving. And so we were cruising down the highway towards North Carolina, and I was looking through my email, and I got this email that said, how dare you? You're trying to brainwash my spouse, and how dare you do that? Now, that was following up on the fact that a couple of other people had contacted me about their spouses saying something about the same thing, that I'm trying to brainwash people and somehow make them believe things. So let me say publicly once and for all, you're right. I'm trying to brainwash you. But let me understand what that means with you. And so when people say I'm trying to brainwash somebody, I want to say that I'm trying to bring people into my way of thinking. So you're right. I'm trying to brainwash people. And part of what I'm trying to brainwash people into believing is that there actually is an alternative to our divorce-ridden society, that there actually is an option. As I've said many times, many places, you really have three options when you're in a marriage. You can either, one, when things get tough, bail out on it and give up and walk away and divorce. And lots of people do that. In fact, about 48 to 49% of the marriages will end that way, that somebody or both will say, we're done, we're out of here. And if both people say, we're done, we're out of here, nothing I can do or say, nothing is going to change that. So for me, that's not who I'm even talking to. Then there's another group that will stick it out no matter what's going on, and they will just barrel on down the life of a marriage, right? And so their relationship will be bad. They're not going to communicate together well. They're going to have fights. They're not going to be very good at showing examples to their family or their friends or especially their kids, but they're going to stick it out, right? And those are people who are not likely to seek help. And so if both people are just ready to be miserably stuck in a relationship, that's their choice. Those aren't the people that I'm having a conversation with either. Then there's another group. And that's a group that says, you know what? Marriage is important. Marriage is a part of the fabric of our society, and marriage is the best way. Happy marriage is the best way to show kids how to be in a relationship. And so part of what that approach is saying is that when we hit a hard time, we're going to figure out how to get around that. We're going to make the relationship work. And that's true across the board. You know, 100% of couples have issues, 100%. 52-ish percent decide to stay together. But then there's a percentage of those that decide not just to stay together, but to be happy. And what I would like to do is increase the number of people who decide to stay in a relationship and make it a happy relationship. That's what I'm trying to brainwash people to do, to figure out that there is actually another alternative, this third approach where you don't have to be miserable, nor do you have to bail out. So, yep, you're right. Guilty as charged. I'm trying to brainwash people into thinking that there's an alternative, that there actually is a healthy way to be in relationships, and that these are skills that you have to master. These aren't skills that you ought to know right off the bat because, well, let's face it, in a marriage, you're having kind of on-the-job training. You didn't have that training anywhere else, so you're getting it right on the job. And unfortunately, we cause lots of pain and hurt and lots of a crisis in a relationship just because we don't know what we're doing. But there is a solution to that. And the solution to not knowing what you're doing is to learn what you're doing and learn how to do it better. So what I'm doing, yep, I'm trying to brainwash people into believing that you could actually work on that, learn the skills, master it, and get beyond the hurts. So yes, guilty as charged. I'm trying to brainwash people into believing that you can have a better marriage. There are a couple of other things that I will admit I'm also trying to brainwash you into. For instance, commitment. To actually believe that commitments are made for a reason. That we don't make promises to be married until we're not happy anymore. We don't make usually we don't make promises that we'll be married until, you know, your spouse ticks you off, you don't like him anymore, they gain weight, they get sick, whatever else. In fact, a marriage ceremony has some very specific vows that I think are designed for us to say publicly, we're in this for our life. We're in this in a commitment that is for the rest of our life, regardless of whether we're sick or healthy or whether, you know, there's money there or not money there, regardless of whether it's a good day or a bad day, we just are going to be there. And so to me, that's about commitment. We pretty much have said, I'm in it for life. And I think that's an important thing to do. So I believe that commitments are made. And my definition of a commitment is a promise you make to do something that you will continue to do even when you no longer feel like you did when you made that commitment. And that's what a commitment is about. You know, it's not like you wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to give up on that commitment I made. I'm going to give up on that and walk away just because. Now, there are some legitimate reasons why I believe that people could walk away from a commitment, and an abusive relationship is the biggest one. And so I've never encouraged people to stay in an abusive relationship. I have suggested that people can choose to stay in an unfaithful relationship and get it back on track and make it a faithful relationship, and that those wounds can be healed. But there are many people who believe that they can't do that, and I'll leave them room for that. But most marriages aren't affected by those two issues. Most marriages are affected by two people who have not learned how to, one, live into the commitment, and two, a loving and faithful way. And so that's part of what I am about. Guilty as charged, I believe that commitment is something worthwhile. And so I believe in helping people understand how to live into the commitment and how to use that commitment as an orienting fact in the relationship, how to use it as the North Star of the relationship. Because what most people use as the North Star is happiness or is joy or satisfaction, right? And sometimes what that happiness piece is an odd place. You know, like my spouse is going to complete me, or we're going to make money together and we're going to be happy that way, or some other high ideal that really is outside of the bounds of the relationship. For me, what orients a relationship is not, do I feel that gushy love? Am I happy right now? But did I make a commitment? And how do I make the commitment right? My belief is there are two steps into making it right. The first thing is to make sure you're marrying the right person. And then after you get married, it's making the relationship right. And so that takes hard work. And so yes, guilty as charged. I am brainwashing people to believe that commitment is actually something worthwhile and important, and that even though you might not feel the love right then, it still is crucial to move towards that. There are a couple of other things. I am brainwashing people to believe that marriage is about family, and that family is crucial, and that there is a real impact on kids coming out of divorce. Where all this started for me was watching my cousins go through divorces and watching as they were the children of broken families, and how hurt they were and how torn they were and how devastated the family was. So I got to watch that as a child. Then as an adult, as a therapist, I was working with couples who were getting ready to get married. They're preparing for that. And every one of them that came from a broken relationship told me of the impact that had. And they reacted in one of two ways, and this has been true across me watching many, many marriages. They either follow their parents and learned that divorce is the way out, or they go the opposite of their parents, and no matter what is happening in a relationship, they stick it out, not without making it happy because they didn't see the skills of making it happy, but just tolerating it. And so when they would come in and talk to me about the fact that they were about to get married, they would tell me stories about why they either waited a long time to be in a relationship or somehow were fearful about what might happen in their relationship. Somewhere the fear was so much deeper than just that kind of idea that what if this doesn't work out? Theirs was a terror of having seen the damage of it. So for all of the studies that will tell you that kids will survive a divorce, I will tell you that kids will survive a divorce, but not without impact. every research study, except for one major study that has now been completely discarded, have shown that kids are negatively impacted by marriage, by a divorce, by a broken family. Now, an unhappy marriage, that doesn't help them either. But as I said early on, there is another option of people working together to have a happy relationship. That's where kids thrive. That's where marriages thrive. That's where families thrive. And so when we sometimes get into this debate, we put it on this kind of spectrum of either coming from broken families or unhappy marriages. And there is another alternative. So yes, I am guilty as charged. I'm trying to brainwash people into seeing that there is legitimate concern for family and legitimate concern for kids coming out of broken families that will last generations. Not just are your kids going to be okay, but how does it impact them and their kids and their kids and their kids? Because we're passing on legacies of either restoring relationships or destroying the household. Are we going to restore or destroy? That's our choice. Not are we going to be unhappy or broken, you know, a divorce or unhappy marriage, but can we restore the relationship? So, yep, guilty as charged, brainwashing people to believe that there is an alternative for the family that is about having a thriving marriage, not a limping marriage, not a broken marriage, but a thriving marriage. That's what makes the difference for kids. Okay, there are a couple of other places where I am trying to brainwash people. Truly am. One is that there is forgiveness possible. That's one of the big hangups I hear from people is these things have happened in our relationship. How can I get beyond them? Because they don't understand the power of forgiveness or the reality of forgiveness. And so when we lose track of what forgiveness is really about, we get stuck in scars and resentment and anger and hurt that can go on and on. So part of what I try to bring out is the capacity for forgiveness that I think we all have that's naturally within us. The question is, do we tap into that? Or do we allow our resentments and hurts from the past get in our way over and over? So part of my belief is that there's great power in forgiveness, not because you're letting the other person off the hook, but because you don't want to have to carry that around yourself, that there's a way of getting to that forgiveness. So yeah, I'm trying to brainwash people into believing that forgiveness is a reality, that it's a better way to live than always being hurt by something in the past. So yes, guilty as charged, trying to brainwash people into believing that forgiveness is a capacity that they have within them that they might not have tapped in before, but it's still there. Okay, that other area where I'm trying to brainwash people is in believing in growth, in personal growth. I believe that we have really one of two options. And this is Ray Kroc has this quote, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. And I love that imagery that you're either constantly in a growth pattern or you're stuck and you're in a rotting position. And so a lot of us find ourselves stuck at some place in life where we forgot that we are naturally designed as growing. We watch our kids, right? And watch our kids struggle through stages where, you know, they learn to get on their belly and they learn to start crawling and then they learn to start walking and then running and then all the other skills. And we watch them stumble and stumble and then master those skills and forget that we as adults do the same thing. We stumble and stumble and we master a skill. We stumble and stumble and we master a skill. We didn't know how to be in a relationship and we learned the skills of that and we become masterful at being in relationships. We become masterful at creating intimacy. We become masterful at continuing to grow in our lives. So part of my brainwashing is to convince people that they can be better than they are right now. Not that they have to fix something, that there's something broken, but that we all have the capacity of growing, of thriving, of learning more, of being more, of finding more ways of living much more purposeful, meaningful lives in the world, and that that really is our essence. That when we lose that essence, we get stuck. And when we get stuck, things begin to fall apart. And so for me, watching marriages, there are three pieces of the puzzle. One is that couples stop connecting. They forget how to stay connected with each other. Two is individuals stop growing. They don't know how to get to the next place, and so they stop their growth, they stop their changing, and they get frozen in space. And number three is most couples didn't even know what they were trying to get to in the first place, that there's something that is unique to the marriage relationship that doesn't happen in any other relationship in life except for that permanent kind of relationship. And when that shift happens, we become a team, a unit, a we. And unless you know that, you don't know to move there. So many of the troubles we see in relationships is simply because people didn't know what they were trying to get to. They got stuck somewhere trying to get to this goal they didn't even know was there. So those three areas are clear areas that I'm trying to brainwash people into believing you can connect with a spouse, you can change and grow, and you can create an entirely new path for your life simply by focusing on the next stage, which, by the way, is exactly what I lay out in my book, my best-selling book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps, because I'm trying to brainwash people. I'm trying to get them to the place to see that their marriage can be saved simply by working on themselves, simply by working on the connection and knowing what the goal is. So yes, guilty as charged, trying to brainwash people into having happy, healthy, satisfying relationships and being happy, healthy, and satisfied in their own lives together. For that, I don't apologize. I am trying to brainwash people to a better place, and I hope you'll join with me in that process. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.